2SER Breakfast.
So as I mentioned, this year, chemicals company Monsanto celebrates their 20th year of genetically modified crops in Australia. Now, Monsanto's managing director, Tony May, says that GM crops are wise both economically and environmentally for Australia and Australian farmers. However, farmers argue differently, surprise, surprise, saying GM crops retail for a lower price than their non-GM counterparts, and saying that consumers prefer to avoid genetically modified crops. But is it all evil? Is GM this kind of dystopian future? Joining me on the line now is Professor Stephen Leader. He is a professor of public health from the University of Sydney. To cut to the centre of this debate, good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Jamie.
So, Stephen, just to back up, what are genetically modified crops?
Genetically modified crops are ones that have been engineered to take on the characteristics of another organism, maybe in resisting the effects of insecticides, so that, or at least of herbicides, so that weeds can be eliminated, or they may be characteristics that enable crops to grow even in salty water or in arid conditions. So there's a multiplicity of characteristics that can be engineered into plants.
Mm. So if we were to go, you walk into your Coles, your Woolies, your Harris Farm this morning, and you went to the fruit and veg section, how much of what you see there is genetically modified?
It depends a lot on where you're going. If it's cotton in Australia, then the majority of cotton produced in Australia is now genetically modified, which enables the farmers to spray the crops with herbicides such as Roundup to get rid of the weeds, and certainly enabled the crops to flourish. So majority of cotton and probably, I don't know, 10-20% of canola.
Right, okay, but I'm talking for your average everyday punter who goes in to buy their cherry tomatoes, their broccoli, things like that. Is that that stuff they're buying in their supermarket, is that genetically modified?
Some may be, but it's not a big percentage. It's not like as in as America, for example, where genetically modified products are very readily available in the market or sold in the market. So we're more conservative when it comes to foods, and but as I mentioned, cotton is the big deal.
Okay, so cotton is the big deal. I'll get to that in just a moment. I wouldn't mind staying on fruit and veg just a tick, because I know that a lot of my listeners will be buying fruit, veg, things like that. But as I understand, and I could be completely wrong here, something like a broccolini, which is a kind of a mix of a broccoli with an Asian vegetable, which has been, you know, genetically grown together over the years to create a new strain of broccolini, isn't that genetically modified?
Well, it could be. It could be. And but the fact is that, you're getting new strains of lots of crops and vegetables and so on arising through the process of evolution. It just takes a whole lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily directed to improve their survival in conditions that we consider important, like, will this grow if you've only got salt water available to water it?
Yes.
Or will it grow in the condition where things are pretty arid and you wouldn't expect it to grow?
Right, okay. So, look, we're talking about genetically modified food. Monsanto's been here for 20 years. Australian farmers aren't too keen on genetically modified crops. What are their arguments?
I think that there's an economic argument in that, as I understand it, genetically modified canola doesn't bring the same level of profit as unmodified, so there's a disincentive there to them to use it. And, I think that there is a widespread concern about the increasing use of these herbicides, which is an environmental issue. It doesn't really impact on the quality of the food, but if you take it, there's an estimate provided in the US last year that the use of glyphosate, which is the technical name for Roundup, had increased by a factor of more than 250 from 1974 to 2014. There was something like 120 million kilograms of it used in 2014, largely because the crops are not affected by it, but the weeds are affected. So you can see, but you've got to ask the question about the safety of the product. And the International Agency for Research into Cancer determined last year that glyphosate or Roundup is what's said to be a probable human carcinogen, which means that it's not risk-free when it comes to the development of cancer. So, and that's admittedly based on a lot of evidence taken from animal experiments, but there's also some epidemiological literature that has linked it to lymphoma. So, I mean, we've got to understand that when we engage in these big environmental shifts, like using these herbicides in large quantity, it's not a bad idea to keep a very close eye on what's happening, because they're dramatic interventions and they could have health consequences. So it's not so much what's in the food itself that's the risk here, although we don't know about the extent to which genetic modification induces the production of new allergy-provoking agents. But we're, from a public health perspective, there is a concern, and we would argue that it should be monitored in terms of the impact on the environment.
If you just joined us, I'm here with Professor Stephen Leader. He's a professor of public health at the University of Sydney. We're talking about Monsanto. They've been here in Australia for 20 years. They've got a pretty bad rep, isn't that right, Stephen?
I'm sorry?
They've got a pretty bad reputation, does Monsanto?
Well, they've had their ups and downs, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Over the years. So, with, especially in the herbicide and genetic modification fields. But, I mean, yeah, that's, it's been a pretty rough ride, but there's no doubt that they've been one of the major innovators when it comes to GM technology. And, I mean, the upside of all of this, of course, is the possibility of producing crops that require a less propitious kind of environment in which to grow that might address nutritional problems in developed countries.
Surely in the third world, I mean, a crop that grows in buggeral water or salty water or whatever it might be, arid conditions, I mean, surely that would be a positive thing.
Well, I would have thought, and I mean, it's been happening too, of course, that the uptake of these products beneficial in environments where there are major restrictions, and certainly that applies to parts of Australia too, clearly. But you're always running into the economics of these things, and just as many developing countries can't afford or choose not to afford to produce sufficient quantities of insulin for their diabetic population, so it might happen that the cost of the genetic modified organisms is prohibitive, so they don't get out there. So there's a context in which these things need to be reviewed.
Look, Stephen, just finally, Monsanto has been here for 20 years in Australia. In that time, we have seen an increase in genetically modified crops. Where are we going to be in 20 years? Will Monsanto still be here? Will everything be genetically modified?
Well, I'd be a brave man to
I'll go and have a gamble. It's just you and me, Tom.
I think probably. I mean, this is new technology, and it's a bit like rocket science. There'll be some blow-ups and some mistakes and errors and catastrophes probably, but it'll probably settle down. But one point that hasn't come up in the conversation, which I think is important, and that is if a food product contains genetically modified constituents, then then surely that should be labelled clearly so that people who wish to make a choice not to buy and consume genetically modified food can do so. That's simple. Then also, if we've got labelled food, we can put together the information epidemiologically in terms of surveillance so that we can keep an eye on what happens to people who do or do not consume GM foods. The allergy thing is one that's, you know, there's so much food allergy stuff going on at the moment. You really do wonder what's behind all of that. And genetically modified food may produce substances that provoke an allergic response. But if the food's labelled and we can get a rough idea of, or a precise idea if possible, who's consumed it, and if there are any problems arise, we can look to see what the history of those people is in terms of GM consumption, and that would be a real step forward.
Well, there's a lot to keep our eye on there, Stephen, but thank you so much for your time, particularly so early this morning.
Thanks very much, Sammy.
Not a worry. That's Professor Stephen Leader there. He is a professor of public health at the University of Sydney, talking to us about Monsanto. They've been here for 20 years of their genetically modified crops.